What's up, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of our main segment in our Walking Dominion series. So we're popping this off. We have an interesting title today. It kind of made me chuckle, but it's called Identity Theft. And we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to flow because, as you can see, we're missing a few people. And it's us as women. We're going to take over for today. And so just to go ahead and jump straight into it, our verse for the day is going to be Genesis 1, verses 27 through 28. Okay. And so I'm going to be reading from the Message version, but it says, God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. He told them to prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. And so as we see right there, we got a lot of identity as well as authority going on, dominion. So here we are in our series with an interesting topic of identity theft. And we see that God said, I made you a male and I made you a female, and I created you in my image, and I've given you power. And in this power, I'm telling you to reproduce. I'm telling you to take dominion, and I'm telling you to multiply, and every other good thing shall be yours. How does that make you feel?
I got a lot of avenues I can go with this one.
I know, right?
And I'm trying to not get us canceled, so.
Well, you could start off just simple. How does your rock identity-
the boat. rock the boat. I just when I think about my identity, there was a time where I used to think about who Marie Victoria was and how Marie Victoria is going to do this and how I'm going to do that and how I'm becoming Marie Victoria. And it really, like, you know, God was mentioned, but it wasn't at the forefront of who I said I am. And so now that, like, I am, like, on fire for God, and I'm walking in my purpose and allowing God to use me in spaces where I never thought that he would use me, especially not this soon. Who Marie Victoria is has a lot to do with who God says I am. And I said this before, but it wasn't until I gave my life to God that I discovered all that I am, all that I could be. So a lot of who my identity is and who I am comes from who God says I am. And he said that I'm a female, I'm a woman, and he created me to do certain things on the earth. And so when I hear people, we going there?
Yeah, go.
When I hear people, I work in the mental health field. So when I hear people talk about their identity confusion and their gender dysphoria and things like that, it really ruffles my feathers because I'm like, I mean, outside of them not, I guess, having a better understanding for who God is and who God said they were, are, it's like, it's so much confusion. And there's no way you can walk a dominion and be confused at the same time. You have to pick one, be authoritative or be confused. And it kind of makes me sad because it's one thing to, you know, have your sexual orientation and you like boys or girls or whatever, which is a sin, but that's one thing. It's another thing to literally say that I am not who God created me to be. It's almost, that's like saying that God is not perfect and his will for you is not the perfect one.
He made a mistake.
Yeah. And I don't want to say it makes me mad, but I have a hard time understanding that concept because I'm so firm on who God says I am, especially now.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to rock the boat, like I was saying, just rock it, because I feel like when we think about, oh, cancel culture, one, I will log off online and you will not exist. But also, I think it also is important because we don't want to shy away from the truth and the whole truth. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this series, we want to be very honest, transparent, and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like, let's talk about it. I think the reason when we look at that verse where he says, I've created man in my image, I've created male, and I created female. And then he also gives the charge to reproduce, to multiply and do these things on the earth and to take dominion. When we think about the the confusion around sexual identity and all of these things that are going on, I heard something that was really interesting. It was this girl, and she was once considered a lesbian. And then when she journeyed through God and God showed her and opened her eyes that this is not my design for you, that's not who I created you to be. Well, I think it was not lesbian, but it was like transgender. Mm. But either way, she said the first vision that God had showed her was, when I made male and female, there was a lineage that was like flowing. It was like a light over them. It was like a male and a female, and there was a light. And underneath, it was like literally just a lineage, a generation just flowing through them, just going and going. And then he put next to her in the...
Is this the girl with the curly hair? And she had like a red background that she was on?
I think so.
I saw that video.
Yeah, and she had like the two girls, and it was dark. Mm-hmm. And there was no reproduction. Mm-hmm. And then there was the man and the man, and it was dark, and there was no reproduction. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about, we're not saying that necessarily, oh, God doesn't love you, but it does disrupt the flow mm-hmm. and the order of which God created. Right. And so I feel like the trick of the enemy, because God knows how important bloodlines are. If we look all through the Bible, it talks about, I'm going to bless your generation. I'm going to bless this child through you. But if he can stop the flow mm-hmm. of reproduction, mm-hmm. something that we're called to do, which is reproduce, then we don't, we're literally disrupting. The blessings fall on the people. Mm-hmm. If you're never born or this child isn't born,
how can I bless them?
Yeah.
And it's
so much bigger than we think it is.
It's like the devil's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
And if he can destroy your whole bloodline or the generations to come,
yeah.
then there are no evangelists being risen up. There are no apostles and prophets, because it's like a whole generation is dying because of a decision you made.
Yeah.
And like I said, I always say there are people's blessings attached to your obedience. So when you walk in your purpose and you're doing what you're supposed to do, yet there are generations behind you that are not just your bloodline, but the people your grandkids going to bless, the people that your kids' kids and kids' kids going to speak to.
Exactly.
And it's like, it reminds me of, I think, Ishmael and Isaac, when they had the gift for Isaac, I think, was that he was going to have a generation of people that would follow him. And when they had Ishmael, they were kind of outside of what God said. He still gifts coming out of repentance, so he still gave them the blessing and blessed the, but there were two separate generations.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have a generation of God's purpose and what he said was going to happen, and you have a generation of the devil's plan. And yeah. it
all happens out of our own fleshly yeah. desires. Ishmael was born out of impatience.
Yeah.
Ishmael was born out of doubt and fear that
God ain't.
God, are you sure? Because mm-hmm. naturally, if I'm not walking by faith, but by sight, I'm old. I probably don't have the patience to raise a baby at this age. Mm-hmm. There's probably so much going on. And so before we get even further along, go ahead and just sleep with my handmaiden. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he was born out of impatience, our own desires. Us trying to force our will and our plans in a thing. God says, I said I was going to do it. Why are you trying to put a timeline on how I'm trying to move? I know when it's ready. I know when the ground is cultivated enough for the harvest mm-hmm. to be reproduced. Mm-hmm. But what you think? Okay.
I also think we should also think about that not everyone is saved or proclaimed, you right. know, that they believe in God. So those that haven't, they still have God-given freedom to choose how they want to live their yeah. lives. And that's up to them. But also we have to remember that they see it as a worldly thing and we see it as spiritual. Mm-hmm. And we have to meet them where they are, because mm-hmm. they don't see what we see. Like, everything is a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare, or how they got put into that place and why are they lost in their identity? Because it all starts from generational yeah. curses. Good start from something that happened in our childhood.
Yeah.
Like, and not just even speaking on like sexual orientation or changing your identity completely, but just losing yourself, like as a person, losing your personality, lost in things, trying to find other things, like trying to find love in other things.
Yeah.
That question. I feel like that's the root of like losing your identity, is you're trying to find love in other things. And you're becoming something that God didn't call you to be. Mm-hmm. And you're walking on a different path that God didn't call you to walk on, because God orders our steps. And I also wanted to, I should have mentioned this in our other episode, but something I've learned recently is that dominion is a place. It's like the next dimension. It's the next dimension of what you're called, like, you know, the fourth dimension. It's so I feel like with that, I'm sorry, just lost my whole thought.
Okay.
But I feel like with that, that's why you have to continue to pray to see the spiritual that's happening, because you can't enter into that place, enter in dominion, in that next dimension, as if you're not praying and not asking God to reveal the spiritual that's happening. Mm-hmm. And why are you drawn to these things that's causing you not to act out of character? And I noticed that with myself. I think of recently where I'm forced myself to go out places where I really don't want to go.
Yeah.
But it's just I'm looking for that comfort. Mm-hmm. I'm looking because I'm feeling lonely. So I'm looking for that comfort by going out with my friends or trying to drink or constantly trying to hang out with this guy that I have no business being with. It's because you're looking for God's love. Mm-hmm. And people who are struggling with their identity, they don't see it as a worldly thing. Like, well, they see it as a worldly thing, but they're not seeing it as the spiritual thing. Like, that's what's drawing you to that, because you're trying to find comfort and you're trying to find God's love and other things. And people are just condemning them, but not really understanding, like, they're God's lost children. Mm-hmm. Like, but they have every right to live the way they want to live. But you have to, it's all about just the people you're around and finding that leadership that's actually going to help heal that spiritual wound. So,
yeah. See, and I agree. And the reason I have such a hard time with this is because, like I said, I work in this field. And so there are times where I had to kind of just go with it because my job depended on it. And I'm a lover. Like, I'm a person that is a lover. Like, that's who I am at heart and in nature. And so when it comes to, like, I'll be your friend, probably not super close, but I'm not gonna, like, my purpose is to never judge someone by speaking my truth or speaking the truth that, you know, I know is the truth. But it's almost, and I can love somebody and pour into them and kind of look past whatever they're doing, because that's not for me to judge. It's not for me. I know that I've done some things and I still do some things that are not aligned with God's will for me. And so it's not my job to comment on what they're doing, and I really don't until someone asks me. But the only problem that I have is if I'm loving you still and being kind and being respectful to your belief, and I don't bring it up until you bring it up, or if you want to have that conversation, we can do it. But the only thing I have a hard time with is people trying to argue me down or talk, you know, tell me how my religion or what I believe isn't the truth, when I can believe the same thing about you, but I let it rot because that's what you believe and what I believe is what I believe. And that's the other thing with, like, I did a whole study on Instagram. I mean, like, it was in school, but I put it on Instagram about how the biological women are identifying as something other than women, but they're trying to change, like, the stores, the packaging on feminine products to be neutral and to not say women, but to say for all people with vaginas or this and that. It's like, why do we make you, if you're gonna step outside of what's normal and make your own thing, like, don't come in and try to change what we believe because you believe something different. Like, that's the only problem I have is, why does my packaging, because I identify as a woman, have to change because you don't? Make your own packaging. Have something that says for you, and then there'll be, you know, for us.
Yeah.
And it's
becoming a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, and I like the people who are bold in their stance and speaking up on it, because we can have love, but love without truth is ineffective.
Yeah.
And truth without love is also ineffective. Mm-hmm. And I think also when it comes to walking in dominion, it means also walking in discernment on how to navigate those spaces and situations with people, because it's never supposed to come from a place of judgment. It should always come from a place of love. But again, love without truth is ineffective, and vice versa. And so it goes back to, how do we then navigate those conversations in a way? But discernment, yeah. walking in our yeah. discernment. And I so agree with that one. It's she's been going viral lately, and she's been taking a hard stance on it. And I'm going to be honest, I love her radicalness, because when it comes to this topic, we're called to shy away and not stand in our truth mm-hmm. because the offense or being canceled or mm-hmm. it not being popular. But I'm going to stand in the truth, but I'll do it in love. Mm-hmm. But I like what she's saying is because I don't. Okay, that one's too. Basically, what she was kind of saying is just because it's your reality, but the rest of the world doesn't see your reality as you see your reality, we don't have to play along with your delusions.
Right. Is that Keita Rose?
Huh?
Keita Rose.
She's a black. She was talking at the colleges and.
She sits in the car and do a lot of that videos.
No, she be at the she be straight there at the colleges, and she be like, they be sitting there. Well, how do you feel like you're in? Girl, she don't play, and she think quick on her feet. She just go. She's very.
See, and I'm not. I don't want to do that. Like,
I don't want to do that either. That's not my ministry. That is not my ministry.
Like, if you believe that, believe it.
At all. I am so big on free will is a thing, mm-hmm. but I will speak truth, mm-hmm. and I will always do it in love because. If I say I believe in the word, then I believe in the fact that truth without love is ineffective and vice versa.
Yeah.
It also is like, I think a lot about no sin is greater than the other. And if we're called to not judge people, but to love people, and we believe that no sin is greater than the other, then that means if we're going by what they say, if they're saying, okay, I choose to identify as this, or I don't feel like a woman, so I'm going to be this. Okay, cool. You want to be that? Be that. But I'm still going to identify as a woman because that's who I am. And that's what God, who God says I am. And my genetic makeup is so, but if we're going to go with that, then it's like, okay, if no sin is greater than the other and I'm a killer, then because I think killing is okay, or that's what I'm doing, then I'm going to convince you that killing is okay too, because if I believe it, then that's the truth. And so it's like, but that's where we draw the line, because no, killing people is wrong, but it's like not being respectful to other people's thoughts, opinions, and belief systems is also wrong, because you're not acting out of love, but you're acting out of judgment. You're acting out of, you basically just not being receptive to someone else's thoughts. You don't have to be open-minded. I mean, you don't have to agree, but you do have to be open-minded.
Yeah.
And just allow people to believe what they want to believe.
And even in my sin, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying, I'm glad you said that. Like, no sin is greater than the other, because a lot of Christians, they love to talk about, yeah. like, talk down on a certain group of people, and they love to just come after them. And especially when they go out to those colleges and they say, like, oh, gay people, you're going straight to hell. One, those aren't Christians at all.
Because
you're speaking deaf.
Yes.
You're speaking deaf over them automatically. And that's like, and what have you done in your past? And nobody's bringing it up and bringing shame onto you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I'm glad that you said that, because everyone talks about just one sin on when everything
it
is. God sees it all the same. Yeah. He sees it all the same. You cussing and someone being gay, like,
he actually sees doesn't it all see it all the same. There is levels to it, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, well, you know.
And when I say level, because I Googled it, because there are certain abominations.
Yeah.
And true. Then there are sins, and people think of sin as just murder, and this sin is actually missing the mark. Mm-hmm. So me being actually suicidal is a sin. Mm-hmm. Me suffering with self-doubt is a sin to my original design and makeup. But when we want to talk about the abominations, Proverbs 6:16-19, it says it lists seven things which are abominations: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are swift in running into mischief, and a false witness who utters lies, and those who spread strife among brothers. It didn't say anything about the other, what we were just talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it says that those are abominations.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we have like just the plain old sins where we're missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the mark on a day to day. I miss the mark with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I miss, you know, so when it comes to sin, I think that's an area that a lot of people aren't really deep in revelation in.
Mm-hmm.
They're very surface level with it. It doesn't really go deeper than eyes meet the surface, because at the end of the day, we are called grace, but we are called truth. So, and even in my mess, I want somebody who's going to speak truth. I don't want somebody around me who is going to coddle me and just say, oh, God loves you, you know. No, I want you to be better, and I want you to grow. And so while I'm speaking life into you, I'm going to still hold you accountable, because I hold myself accountable, and I love people around me to do the same.
But you, with that, you have to, like you said, use discernment because God talks about tearing people down and using their mouth to speak curses on other people. Your there's power in your tongue, and your tongue is as sharp as a sword. So if I'm going to talk, if I'm going to discourage you and, you know, kind of like she said, oh, you're going to hell, like I might as well just kill you. Exactly. Because, like, that's not what God said. We're not here to condemn. Like, yes, the wages of sin is death, but that's why Jesus died on the cross, so that we wouldn't immediately die, so that we would have grace, and so that we would have a chance to make it right and a chance to miss the mark and, you know, keep running and miss it again and keep going, because he died on the cross for that.
Exactly. And it's so much accounted for. What were you about to say?
I was going to say, that's why open discussions are needed. That's what you're saying. Yeah. And especially when people are coming into the church and they don't know God, but they're still struggling in sin, and we can't just shame them. We need to have an open discussion on, like, what happened? How did you get to this point? And they need that leadership because they're seeing it as a worldly thing and we see it as spiritual. Yeah. So that's why I feel like open discussions are needed. And that's why I'm always open to hearing other people's sides and their opinions. And I'm never going to judge, because who am I to judge? And I'm never going to try to put my belief. But that's why we have an open discussion. You tell me what you think on the topic, and I tell you what I think on the topic and what I believe.
And you let God do the rest.
And I think
that's beautiful.
If God touches their heart, it will come up to them again, and then later in their life, it's on God's time. It's their path. You can't force somebody to do how you want them to go.
Yeah,
you can't order their steps.
All right, y'all. So we're actually gonna just take a quick break, and when we jump back in here, we're gonna come right back to this topic. What's up, y'all? And we are back from our break, and we're gonna go ahead and just jump into it now, y'all. I gotta say one thing, and then we can move on to the next topic. I would definitely say what you just ended on and said is 100% what I agree. Or was it you? Either way, somebody says something and I agree with both parts on the aspect of when you first come into this walk and you know, we come as we are. And who we are, we don't want to feel like who we are is a burden or not enough, because then those provoke feelings of shame. And that's not helpful. That's why love in it is everything. When we look at it, what he tells us, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of all of those is love. And so everything should be built off of love. But when I came into this walk, and I think I said this on the last episode, I watched my sister go through a habit, but I watched her also pray for years to break that habit. And imagine somebody speaking, and this goes back to the love, but also truth. She knew stealing was wrong, and we could tell her you're wrong, but God loves you. And you're going to overcome this. And I'm by your side every step of the way. Whatever you need, however long it takes, I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. It takes a certain level of grace for certain people to be in your life and go through as you overcome certain stuff, because you can't put a timeline on somebody's deliverance. But that never stops anybody from speaking truth to her. But it was always grounded in love. So I guess that's more so like an example of what I mean. Like when I struggled with overcoming like sexual immorality and getting to a place where it wasn't habitual in my life, it took me so long, but I had friends who, yes, they held me accountable, but they showed me so much grace. And so I never got comfortable in it, but I always knew that I was loved, if that makes sense.
And that's why God didn't call, like, he didn't call people that were perfect. Like, he said, let he who's without sin cast the first stone. If all of us were without sin, then it would be okay for us to judge, because then we'd be like God without sin. But because we all sin, and because we all had to come into the grace of God, and because we all had to come in as new Christians and new believers and come in as we are, we're not qualified to judge people. And the reason that we have to show love is because that very person was once us. Yeah. Like the same way we needed that love. And that's why grace is so important, because the same way we needed the love, we have to extend that same love and that same grace that we would have wanted even if we didn't get it. The Bible says you're accountable for what you know.
Exactly.
And so if you come in unknowing, yes, it's our job to teach you, but it's our job to teach you in love and to teach you in grace.
That's good. I have a scripture that when I was looking over the notes that came to mind and that my mother gave to me. It was 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And it says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life, to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Mm. Amen.
And that's just all about Paul. Well, Paul was, you know, speaking to Timothy about fleeing and avoiding sin, but, you know, that can go for us, like avoiding all sin. And, you know, the walk in faith is a hard walk, and it's not easy, and we can struggle. We're going to struggle with sin all our life, but it's having grace for ourselves and the same grace for others. But that's why your circle matters, because they're going to be the ones that also hold you accountable. Because if your circle is people who condone the sin and is telling you, girl, it's fine. Like,
make you feel comfortable.
Make
in
you
it.
Feel comfortable. Make you feel good
in
it.
Stuck in it.
You're going to be stuck in it. So that's why you really have to be careful.
But you also don't want a bunch of mean people who make you, because then you hide.
Yeah. True. But, you know, people who actually operate in love and actually give you the advice you need, but also, you know, give you that grace that, you know, it takes time to grow. You're going to struggle with sin. Mm-hmm. And nobody's perfect. So you're going to struggle with sin, but also just knowing, like, this shall pass.
Yeah. What's that quote? Well, not the quote, but what's the verse where it says that the farmer, when he plants his seeds, he doesn't sit there and go out every day like, but he nurtures it and he tends to it and he does the work and he knows it's going to grow, but he doesn't sit there and say, oh, on this timeline, I'm expecting to see this, but he tends to it. And we're gardens. It's one of this lady. She looks at the human anatomy. Am I saying it right?
Anatomy.
There we go. Sorry, y'all. I don't know words like that. But anatomy. And she literally talks about, like, she takes the book of Genesis to our human anatomy, and it literally looks like a garden. Mm-hmm. And everything that it's so beautiful.
It's all connected, yeah.
Yeah, it's all connected. All of it. I'm going to send you the video. It's so good. But okay.
I want to get into this topic of fashion. The fashion world and do's and don'ts while being saved. And how you dress. And this is going to be a funny topic, because I'm sure Krista can talk about some of the things that even happened on the podcast. And I'm sure you got some stories about something. Mm-hmm. But people say it's hard for me specifically. Like, I used to have a hard time. I mean, I still have a hard time, because I'm not like a person that likes to flaunt my body. I don't like to like, oh, yeah, like, I'm built like this, I'm built like that. Like, it's there. We can't miss it. But I'm not putting it on display. Like, I'm into fashion, so I'm into making, you know, fashion choices that aren't as common as others, but also accentuating what God gave me. Like, I'm not going to dress in baggy clothes just because, like, and that may be that I don't have that conviction yet. And
exactly.
At some point, I might get it. I might feel like, you know what? It's time to clean up the house. But right now, I feel like I'm doing my best to honor God in what I wear. There was a time where I was just like, oh, yeah, we're going to put this on as less of that and as much as this. I mean, I've always dressed kind of conservative because my mother did not play like that. But, you know, like as I developed, I started like getting a little loose. And I'm starting to reel it in. So there are times where, like, okay, I know this dress is a little too much, so I'm not going to wear that. Or I'm going to put it on and put something over it. Or, like, I don't just let everything fly.
Yeah.
And I think when people say stuff to me, I'm like, well, they're like, oh, you need to hide this and hide that. Like, that's not who I am.
To make you comfortable?
Yeah, like, that's not who I am. And I understand not wanting to tempt people, but it's not my fault that you're tempted. It's not, like, I had to work on my own temptations, and I still do. But I'm not asking, oh, yeah, can you not wear that because I'm tempted? Or can you not get your hair cut or whatever because I'm tempted? But, and again, I think it's very important for people to realize that it could be so much worse. It could be so much worse. And even with, like, the bathing suits, I'm not a one-piece type of person. I wear a cover-up with a two-piece. But I'm also not, like, the thong kind of person. Like, I'm not going to put a bathing suit that's, like, super revealing. It's going to be a two-piece, but it's going to be full coverage.
Yeah.
And I feel like that counts for something. Like, and it's probably just because I don't have that conviction yet, but
journey and
it grinds my gears when people just be, oh yeah, don't wear that because this and that. Like, I'm not putting on a long skirt to go to my ankles. I'm not doing it. Sorry.
Go ahead, girl.
No, you can go. You can go.
No, you go first. I do a lot of talking.
No, I was going to say, I didn't really think about being modest up until recently because, I don't know, I just felt like I have, like, there has been time like, okay, you know certain parts of you look good, so you want to show it off. But it also goes with intention and a lot of people. And also, I would also do it just because I hate when a lot of people say, oh, women, you need to cover up. Like, tell women that they need to cover up and dress this way. And I'm always like, well, men need to, they need to fix their minds. Like, I'm like, it's not on me. I'm going to wear what I want. But God also says, you know, not tempt others and all that stuff. And, but he also holds other people accountable. If you're looking at someone in a lustful way, you say, gouge your eyes out. Not literally, but, you know.
Figuratively, in whatever way you take that.
So it's like, it goes hand in hand. It's all about intention and what you're doing it for. And I want to bring up another scripture. Sorry.
Okay, with the word. Yes, bring the word. Bring the Bible.
Let me find it. Give me 1 second. Okay. And it's in 1 Timothy again, chapter 2. And chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. And it says, I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. And I feel like when reading this, I got to remember, like, back in the day, what the time was and why, you know, Paul is saying this to the church, you know, how women to dress. But also, I feel like that can go into now when that can also go into now because a lot of women, you know, I'm not going to say a lot of women, but, you know, some women, you know, they dress to please others or dress for the attention and the compliments from others. And yes, it does feel good, but that's not where your worth is. Mm-hmm. And that's not, you know, what your desire is. And I like the part where it says, like, but dress yourself in the good deeds that you do for the Lord. And I feel like,
yeah, like that.
That's where I'm kind of starting to understand what it means to be modest and not to be in that whole mindset. Like, I'm going to wear what I want. I'm going to do this. But seeing it in a different perspective, in a different way. And I have another scripture, and it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse... actually, let me just go to 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, Rather it should be of your inner beauty, your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And I feel like it's all about carrying yourself in a modest way as well. So I'm not seeing it as like how I was when I was younger and that type of perspective, but carrying myself in a modest way and how when people see me, I want them to see, you know, you want to see God, you know, see a godly woman. And also being, if you're going to be walking in dominion, which I said earlier, dominion is a place. If you're on a new dimension, it's, you wouldn't even think that way, you know, you how you dress, you know, you will already carry yourself in that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think when it comes to dressing, I've had a very interesting journey with my apparel. We'll call it apparel. Growing up, I wasn't too big. Like, you know, okay, of course, when we're a lot younger and we're seeing like, oh, we're starting to get attention and you wanna feel good. My mom, she used to set me up in middle school. I mean, like the baggiest of the baggy pants and the bell-bottom jeans, and I would have to pack my bags and then change in the bathroom because my mother did way too much. So then, you know, getting to college, I want to say, no, it actually started in middle school. I mean, not middle school, high school, where it was like, no, I love the crop tops. And I love like the, at the time it was the leggings and, you know, the crop top legging combo. But as I got to like college, I think that was the time where it was like, I don't really like to wear clothes. And I had a hoe don't get cold. No, I'm not a hoe, but you know, it was a funny mantra at the time. It was like, okay. And I dressed very revealing. And I think when I got into my relationship with God, the topic of clothing, I started to kind of see myself more. You know how, like, when you're kind of, like, just in it, you don't think twice. Like, that's why you can see some women and they have on completely sheer tops with their nipples out, because you don't really see it. But when I was with God, I started really to see, like, okay, this is starting to feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I can actually see that maybe you need to put some more clothes on. And I didn't used to do it for attention. I just didn't want to wear clothes. Like, I love the mini skirt, the booty shorts, and the crop top. Like, I just love to feel free. Even at night, I have to be very, I notice, like, and I don't really like to wear clothes. It's just me. I like to feel free, and clothes make me feel restricted. But now I realize the importance of how I carry myself. Mm-hmm. And so I do try to dress a lot more modest. And I'm so grateful for where God's taken me from college to now. And even how sexy I feel with wearing more clothes. And I think more so now my mindset is, you can be a Christian and dress modest and still feel sexy.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest thing. I actually have an idea that I'm not going to say out loud, but it ties into modesty with sexy, because I feel like you can be both. You don't have to, you're into fashion. I don't have to shy away and just sit there. Like, you know how that scripture said, oh, without the fancy apparel,
I'm going to get my hair done.
I'm going to get my hair done, and I'm going to wear the jewelry, and I'm going to accessorize. I don't really think and I think when we read scriptures like that, we read it out of context. Who was he talking to? What? Because when we think about the Corinth church, when he says that women ought not to teach, he was talking to them because they were teaching false doctrine at the time. So it wasn't to the world, but it was to the Corinth women, because the doctrine at the time of which they were teaching was false and they were leading people astray.
And they're also uneducated, right?
Yeah. So we got to know the times of what we're actually reading. And so, yeah, I feel like now just making sure that I liked how you said, when people see me, I want them to see God. I want them to see the essence and the beauty of all I am. I don't want them to just say, when they look at me, they see a very pretty girl. No, I still want you. Am I missing something?
But I do.
They throwing me off, y'all. I'm sorry.
I do want to, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off.
No, you're good. I'm done now.
I want to get to a point, like, in ministry. And it was something I would tell my mom. And like I said, everyone, when someone be like, oh, I don't want to wear this to church because it shows off my curves. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, girl, if you wear whatever, if they're looking at you, it's on them. Mm-hmm. But then when I had that conversation with my mom, and I'm seeing that in a different perspective, she's like, well, I know what type of worshiper I am. When I go to church and I'm in the spirit, I'd be jumping around. So I know I need to dress more modestly and wear a longer dress. Like, so that's why I'm asking, is my dress too short? Because I know how I am. It's not about the other people's eyes, but, you know, she's on a more mature level. Like, that's what she's worried about. And also, when you're a minister, or, like, even me doing dance, how we used to have these where, like, leotards that were low cut instead of, like, our turtlenecks that we wear now. And we know most people on the team, they have, you know, bigger breasts. And I know how I should look. And if I bend over, you can see that. And, you know, when you're ministering, you're dancing, you want to get, it's a spiritual thing. So
yeah.
You don't want people's gaze to fall on something else. And, you know, they're not seeing the ministry that you're doing, but they're looking at you in another way. So I feel like that also, that's when I start to be more mature and realize that that's another way of being more modest. Like, when I'm ministering, there's a way I have to carry myself so people can focus on the actual message of what I'm doing.
I've seen somebody literally say, I pray and ask God, I'm going to this place, what should I wear? Mm-hmm. And they swear by it, that God will even help you dress for the occasion. Mm-hmm. I personally don't necessarily do that, but I thought it was really cute that that's something that she practices, and it's a part of her relationship with God. But, like, I think some people are just mean-spirited, because even now with how far I've come, I don't have a real big conviction around my clothing. I like to dress more modest now because it makes me feel sexy. It makes me feel grown. It makes me feel elegant. But I still love my crop tops. I still feel, and I have no convictions. And that's why I tell people, follow your convictions. Mm-hmm. If you feel convicted on that, by all means, honor your convictions. I don't have the same convictions as you. So when I have people coming onto the podcast and leaving comments of, she has a crop top, she's not a woman of God, you don't see how much time I spend in the secret place. You don't know how much God affirms that yeah, I love you. And I know you love me. And we're really locked in like that. But because you see a crop top, that's on you. You deal with your level. Because that's not where me and him are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my, to that and the church thing, when my, like, body started developing, because I always been really skinny. Mm-hmm. Like, skinny.
Yeah.
And I used to wear my little dresses, and I used to wear my little heels and get dressed for church. But as people started making comments in church, I'm a teenager, and, like, I can't help how I look.
Yeah.
And so my mom, she didn't play like that. So, like, there was always, or you're going to put a slip on, you're going to put shorts on under that, you're going to, like, she didn't. So I felt like if my mom is a minister and she's okay in these outfits, why are you saying something to me?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, my mom is a very modest dresser, and so it's only right that I also dress modestly. And so, like, it's to the point where I don't even dress up for church. Like, I wear jeans and a hoodie or jeans and a shirt. Like, or if I do call myself dressing up, it's literally jeans, a shirt, and, like, a flannel with some heels. So it's still very, like,
yeah.
I don't want to wear a dress. Because even if I have a dress down to here, like, some girls can do that. And there are people at my church that do wear their tight dresses down to here with their cardigans on. Or, like, their crop cardigans. And it's cute. But for me, I know how I look. And so even if I'm trying to be modest in a long dress, my features are still accentuated. And so it's like, and even with that, I can't even wear with the jeans on because it still shows. So it's like, I'm
just going to cut. And that's where the double thing is, because you can't help your body shape.
Yeah.
And me being small, but my sister having a Fashion Nova body, she says that all the time. You can get away with that. But it that's where I said, like, the whole, Murray, when I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Yeah. He knew
what's happening. I knew you.
Yeah.
And so because he knew you, what are we putting on a show for? If I feel most comfortable and true to myself, and I seen somebody saying that, like, I show up and I preach in tennis shoes, because I'm going to be real. Me wearing the dress shoes, I don't feel like me. Mm-hmm. And why do I need to appease you to show up something that I'm not? Mm-hmm. When I formed you, I knew you. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to show up something different? I don't have that conviction. Mm-hmm. I feel most aligned, connected, and divine in my truest form. Mm-hmm. And I journey through the process, and I elevate through my convictions.
Not changing your identity.
Yeah. I like that. We could probably leave it here.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Follow your convictions.
All right, y'all. Well, I think this was a really good episode. We thank you for joining us back on another episode of our Dominion series. And we will see you guys next week. Make sure you follow the podcast at Saved and Such.
SAVEDNSECH.
Peace out.